Turn with me to the book of 1 John, please. The book of 1 John. All right, you found 1 John. I want to speak to you tonight about something that I hope is just extremely practical in your life. I want to talk to you about everyday Christian living. The Christian life is an everyday life. It's not just something you do on Sundays. It's not just something you do when you gather together with believers in a service like tonight. It's an everyday life. The Christian life is called eternal life. And it's important that we understand that. Notice with me, if you will, in 1 John chapter 1, how he begins. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Two very important facts about eternal life, which is what believers have. If you're a believer, you have eternal life. Two very important facts come out here. Number one, if it's eternal life, it begins the moment that you're saved and it never ends, because things that are eternal never end. But here's the misnomer. Many Christians think that eternal life begins when they get to heaven. That's wrong. Eternal life begins now and continues on into heaven forever. So right now, you are living an eternal life. Here's another important fact that these two verses bring out to us, and that is this, and I think that this is the vital truth tonight, that eternal life is not something, but eternal life is someone. Look at verse 2. Who are they describing? He is called the Word of Life in verse 1. He is someone that has been seen by John. He is someone that has been touched by John. And he says his life was apparent, was manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness. Notice, the life. That definite article before the word life in verse 2. It's one specific life, the life. And also in verse 2, he is called, this person, that eternal life. So eternal life is not something, it's someone, and it is none other than Jesus. He is eternal life. And when you get saved, you receive Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. Very important truth. That means that the everyday life that we call the Christian life, which is eternal life, is a relationship, because it's not something, it's someone. And if it is someone, if eternal life, if the Christian life is someone, then it means that we have a relationship with that person, with the Lord Jesus. And of course, you enter into that relationship when you receive him. When you believe upon him and he becomes your personal savior from sin, that relationship with that someone, with eternal life, with the life himself, begins and never ends. There is an interesting scripture that the prophet Amos brings out. He says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" When we talk about walking, we're talking about relating to one another. Can two relate to one another and be in disagreement? In this passage in 1 John, this relationship that we have with him, the life, is called a walk. Notice with me, if you will, in the sixth verse. if we say that we have fellowship with him, with who? The life. That eternal life. Jesus. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I have come to the conclusion that the thing that God desires to do regarding mankind is to be in a relationship with us. And it began with a walk. It began with a walk in the Garden of Eden. And we get the implication of that from chapter 3. After this couple had disobeyed God and sinned, God came down in the cool of the day and he walked in the garden as if he was again going to walk with Adam and Eve, a regular thing that he did with them. It's a walk with him. And when you get to the book of Revelation, I think it's the church in Smyrna or Sardis, one of those seven churches. One of the promises to those that live the life with Christ is that they will walk with him one day. They'll walk with him in white. And of course, they'll walk on streets of gold, won't they? And you look through the letters of the New Testament, you'll find that almost all of those New Testament letters make a reference to believers walking. Romans talks about walking in the Spirit. Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Ephesians says we're to walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called to. Colossians tells us that we're to walk as we have received Jesus, so walk in him. John tells us here that we are to walk, chapter 2, verse 6, as Jesus himself walked. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians talk about the believer's walk. So does 2nd and 3rd John. I mean, we could go on and on. Suffice it to say that everyday Christian living is a walk. And a walk refers to a relationship, and that relationship is with the life himself. It's walking with him. And if you stop to think about walking in the physical sense, you realize that walking is just placing your foot in front of the other in one successive step after another. It's just a reiteration of steps. That's what walking is. And I say that because when you walk, all that really matters is the next step, is the very present. And fellowship with the Lord, walking with the Lord, is simply that. It's being focused on the present moment with him. You see, if you're a believer, your past is under the blood. Some people who are believers are haunted by their past because of sin that haunts them. But if that sin has been brought to Jesus at salvation, it's under the blood and it's forgiven. Past sin is under the blood, and guess what? The future is under his sovereign control. And to live the everyday Christian life is to walk with the Lord, is to be focused on that present moment, that next step with him. That's to be our main focus. Just living, I don't know if you picked it up in the song, day by day, and with each passing moment. That is step by step. It's a walk. It's a walk with the eternal life, Jesus. It is a step by step. It's a moment by moment, step by step walk with Jesus in which he's the one that you're focused on. Walking with him, that relationship with him. Everything's about him. 5 times in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the writer says, today, today, today. Get it? What really matters is your walk today with the Lord. This day, day by day, each passing moment, each step. So the first thing that I want you to really focus on with me tonight is that everyday Christian living is a walk. Don't forget that. It's a walk, which is a relationship with the life himself. Here's a second thing I want you to note with me tonight. This relationship that we have is not only with the life, with Jesus, but look at verse 3. Here is the disciple John speaking, and he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with who? With us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. There's two fellowships in this 1 John 1 passage. There is a fellowship, first of all, that we've mentioned with the life, with Jesus, a vertical fellowship, you might say. But there is also, in verse 3, a fellowship on the horizontal level of believers with each other. And you can't be in a right vertical relationship if you're in a wrong horizontal relationship with your brothers and sisters. In fact, in chapter 4 of this same letter that John writes, and verse 20, he says this, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So you see, the vertical relationship has to be right so that the horizontal relationship is right. And if the horizontal relationship is right, it is not right, neither is the vertical one. This is so important because everyday Christian living involves two kinds of relationships, that vertical and that horizontal, a relationship with God and a relationship with our brethren, which means that, first of all, as was said, we need to be right with God. Think of your life as a house. The foundation, of course, is Jesus, right? And every step, that moment by moment, everyday life, you're building the house, so to speak. You're putting a building block into it. In a right relationship with God, the roof's off. There is nothing between you and God. The roof's off your house life. See? But also, in an everyday Christian life, the walls have to be down when it comes to your relationship with one another, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's an interesting verse in the book of James. James chapter 5 is kind of curious in some ways. It talks about, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. They might pray over that sick person, whatever the affliction might be, and God will hear their prayers, and their affliction will be taken, they'll be healed, and their sins will be forgiven. And then the next verse is this, confess your faults one to another. That means knock down the walls of pride and be open and honest and humble and transparent with each other. The second thing that I want to share with you tonight about everyday Christian living is not only that it's a walk, but it's a walk in humility. It's a walk in spiritual brokenness. It's a walk recognizing that you're not better than anyone else, that you are the one that is in need of restoration. You're the one. It's the walls down. It's an honesty before not only God, but before others. In fact, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you come to worship God, if you bring your sacrifice to the altar to worship the Lord, and at that moment you're reminded that you're not right with another brother or sister, another believer, forget about worshiping God. Jesus said, leave your gift there in the altar and go and get right and get reconciled with your brother or your sister, and then come and offer your gift. Then come and worship me. Otherwise, it's a mockery. Your worship is useless. First, get right with that person. The humility is so much a part of everyday Christian living. A brokenness, a spiritual brokenness over your own sinfulness before God and, of course, before others. That it's a key biblical reality, and that is transparency in our believing lives. To be open, and God deals with us, and He deals with us that we might be trans. You know, one of the most well-loved books in the Bible is the book of the Psalms. You know why that is? I'll tell you why. It's because the people that God used to write the Psalms were so transparent. They were so open about themselves. They were so humble that they let us look into their heart. And even though their heart was full of wickedness, and we see it, that's okay with them because their relationship with God is so important that they're willing to humble themselves in spiritual brokenness before not only the Lord, but their brothers and sisters in order to be right with God so that they can be right with those around them. You read Psalm 51, it is a picture of spiritual humility and brokenness from the heart of a man, David, that is so helpful. Because he doesn't pretend to be better than he really is. He's open before God and before men. And really, that is a genuine proof of sincerity before God, is that we are transparent and open about ourselves before the Lord. Here's the third thing I want to say to you about everyday Christian living. Not only that it's a walk, which of course is a relationship, not only is it walking in humility, in humbleness, not proud. But it's also joyful. Look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Not just joy, but fullness of joy. Joyful. Which ought to be the characteristic of everyday walking with Jesus. And that joyfulness has nothing to do with the circumstances. It has nothing to do with the way people treat you. It has nothing to do with how much you possess materially or financially. It has nothing to do with your circumstances whatsoever. That fullness of joy is a picture of a cup running over. The psalmist David says, "My cup runneth over." And that fullness of joy is pictured in that. It's not an empty heart. It's not a dry heart. It's not a person that is filled with fear or worry or irritability or hatefulness or bitterness or unforgiveness. But they're overflowing with joyfulness because they're walking with the Lord. If you're not walking with the Lord, you won't have joyfulness. And joyfulness is not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. That's how you distinguish the two. But joy is a supernatural fruit of the Spirit that God Himself alone can produce in the depths of your soul, that is there flowing like a river regardless of what else is going on in you or around you. Turmoil, trouble could be all around you, but joy is flowing through. That's what verse 4 is talking about. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Listen, God wants his people to live every day of their Christian life joyful. And that doesn't mean you're always hooting and hollering and shouting praise the Lord. But it means regardless of your circumstances, deep down in your soul, there is a supernatural flow of God's joy in your heart. That's what he's talking about here. Now let me ask you something. If a person doesn't have that fullness of joy, that joyfulness, what stops that moment-by-moment flow of God's joy? What do you think clogs it? What do you think stops it up so it doesn't flow anymore? There's only one thing, and you can spell it, S-I-N. Only sin will stop that moment-by-moment flow, overflow, cup running over of joy. And it will be stopped until you properly deal with the sin in your heart and in your life. Whether that sin be simply against God, or whether it be against God and against another brother or sister or person. So what do you do? How do you deal with that sin that stops up the overflowing, the cups running over joyfulness in your walk with the life? It requires humbleness in your walk. Well, how does that come about? I don't know. Maybe it's coming about right now in your mind and heart. Here's what I see in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What is it, John? What's the message you heard of Jesus, the life, and you're telling us, you're declaring to us? What is it? That God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. That God is light. You know how you deal with it? You deal with it because God is light and he will convict your heart. His light is conviction. He reveals, light reveals things as they are. You walk into a dark room and you might have some concept of where a piece of furniture is in that room, but unbeknownst to you, someone may have moved it before the light was turned off, and you could walk right into it in a dark room. It's when the light is on that you see things as they are. God is light, and when he shines in your life, he shows you things as they really are. It's called conviction. He shines on you, and he shines in you, and he reveals things just as they are in his sight, not yours, not in your opinion or imagination, but as they are in his sight. Darkness. He says, if you walk, God's light, and if you walk in darkness, he says in that next verse, you don't have fellowship with him. If you say we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not. To walk in darkness, I think, is simply to walk outside of what God reveals, of God's light, of God's revelation. That's darkness, whatever it might. Refusing to admit what God convicts your heart about, that's darkness. And when we walk with God, he always, always clearly shows us sin. What do you do when he reveals, as the God of light, sin in your heart? Do you ignore it? Do you, I don't want to see it. Don't show it to me. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. No. Look at verse 8. It talks about, it's the whole gist of this is humility, a broken spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're full of ourselves. We're prideful. We're not humble. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. In his word, I didn't do anything wrong. It was him. He did it. I didn't do it. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word isn't in us. So what do? When God is light, brings his light and convicts you, well, you do what verse 9 says. You go from conviction to confession to the Lord. If we say that we have no sin, but then verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is just to do two things, to forgive, and that's not all, but to cleanse. And that's big. To confess simply means to say the same. It means that you call your sin what a holy God calls it, not what you call it, not what you think it is, but what a holy God says it is. You call it what he calls it. That's what that word confess means. In other words, you identify it as it really is. You see what God sees, and then you say what God says about your sin. You get honest with yourself, and you get honest with God, and you get honest with others. And you don't make excuses as to the reason why you did this, that, or the other, or said this or that. You don't blame other people. You don't blame your circumstances. You don't blame your nationality. Well, you know, us Irish, we're just hot-tempered people. You don't blame your personality. Well, you know, I'm a type A personality, and this is how we handle things. This is how we react. That's not confession. That's shifting the blame in various ways. And you won't enjoy God's forgiveness, and you won't know God's cleansing blood from that specific sin that God, who is light, has convicted you of, until you're willing to come clean with him about that sin. And when you do, he's faithful. He is a faithful God. You'll be so full of joy when you're forgiven, when you're cleansed, when he, that word forgive means to send away or to release a debt. When he sends that debt of sin, when he sends that away and releases you from that, oh, you'll feel so full of his joy. His joy. And he'll cleanse you. He'll wash you. In other words, he'll clean you up. And he will clean you up as if it never happened. It never existed. He'll wash you totally clean. And he'll restore you to fellowship. That's what it says in verse 7. That if we walk in the, if we've stepped in darkness, we've taken that one step in, and we step back in the light by verse 9, confessing our sin, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the cleansing, how does it happen? The blood of Christ. That blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power to cleanse believers from sin as well as sinners from sin. Until sin is no longer a question in our life, we'll be cleansed by the blood. Isn't that wonderful? The songwriter says that the blood will never lose its power until the whole ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. It's amazing. It's amazing. So how is it with you tonight? Are you walking in the light? Have you come clean with God? Is there someone that you need to forgive and clear the air with tonight? Remember, if there is something like that in your life, you are not in fellowship with God. No matter what someone might tell you or what you might think, there's no way you're in fellowship with God. If you have something that you are harboring in your heart against another. And you'll never have real fellowship with the Lord until you totally come clean with him. And I'm convinced that that's one of the things that really hinders the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in an individual heart, but in a body of believers. A walk. The everyday Christian life is a walk. It's a relationship. But it's a relationship, it's a walk in humility. It's a walk in with a broken and contrite spirit. Those are the sacrifices God's looking for. He's not looking for what you can do for him. He says the sacrifices that he will not despise, that he won't turn away, that he accepts, are the sacrifices on his altar of a broken and a contrite spirit. Would you bring him that tonight? You'll walk out of here full of joy. A joyful heart. Fullness of joy. Your cup running over. Instead of being empty and dry and just, let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you might just bring home these truths to our hearts, that everyday Christian living is not something, but it is someone. It's Jesus. And it's a walk with him. That's his greatest delight, is to walk with us. It ought to be ours. And it's a walk in humbleness and brokenness of spirit that results in fullness of joy. A joyfulness that is beyond really human understanding and proclamation, declaration. We can't even describe it. Thank you for that. And Lord, tonight, if any of us needs, may that convicting light which you are shine on and in us and bring us from conviction to